Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a telephone talk show that looks at life from a religious perspective. I'm Father Ron Lingwin, hoping that you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, but especially the joy you experience when you share God's love with others. As we do each week, I'd like to begin our program with a story that is based on faith and formed with imagination, in some way touching upon the theme of our program tonight. Jesus was pleased because the day had been long and tiring, but there had not been a single complaint from his disciples. They were tired, but still happy. Simeon, a friend of Peter's and Paul's, came to join them. After they had eaten and were sitting and relaxing by a fire, he said to Jesus, "It has given me great pleasure to be with you. Your words truly are a source of great wisdom. They make one's mind think." Jesus smiled his gentle smile, and Simeon continued, "But this world troubles me. Two of my daughters will soon give birth to children, and there seems to be very little hope for their future. This concerns me, even though I know life must continue. What do you have to say about this, a wise man? Is there any hope for the coming generation?" Jesus smiled gently again, extended his hands to Simeon and to Peter, and then said to Paul and John, "Come, let us join hands and spend a few minutes in silent prayer." They did as he had requested. Then Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "O Heavenly Father, grant peace to this world, and comfort all who take their first or last breath upon the earth." Peter thought this was a rather strange prayer and said so. Then he said to Jesus, "Master, you have not answered Simeon's question." Jesus looked down at the earth, picked up some dirt, and threw it into the fire. The flames dimmed at first and then grew bright and strong again. Jesus said, "Man is like this fire. There will always be people with great hope, but there will also always be many who will try to destroy that fire of hope. It will not die, however, because man is strong indeed. Man must have love in his heart and a desire to make the world a better place. There shall be many troubled times in the future, but remember that hope and strength will always be available to us when we call upon the name of God. A Story of Faith and Imagination. Our guest this evening writes in her book titled Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. What do you love? What do you hold on to? If you had to leave this world tomorrow, what would be the most difficult thing to give up? When we think of denying self, we often think that it applies only to sinful desires. Well, that is certainly a big part of denial. It also involves denying the things to which you feel entitled. We all feel we are entitled to live a long, healthy, prosperous life. We all feel we are entitled, we are entitled to see our children and grandchildren grow. But the Word of God says no one is guaranteed tomorrow. No one. Therefore, while we may want these things, we do not have the guarantee that we will experience these things. Can you trust the very God who formed you in your mother's womb? Can you trust the God who spoke the world into existence? Can you trust the God who established the boundaries of the sea and the infinite expanse of the skies? Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." The emptying of self is a continuous process, and we have to be willing to open ourselves up to God and allow him to reveal areas in our lives where we are allowing worldly attitudes, expectations, and desires to rule. That is total surrender. God will renew our minds. We can trust him completely because he loves us and wants the best for us. He can see the whole picture, whereas we can see just a small part. As we surrender our lives to Jesus, we will experience more and more of the power of God in our lives. Author, seasoned conference speaker, former host of the nationally syndicated television program Freedom Today, Robin Bertram brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to women's platforms across the country. She often appears as a keynote speaker at women's conferences, retreats, and media seminars, is founder of Robin Bertram Ministries, is vice president of Christian Women in Media Association, and serves as CEO of Bertram and Ross Consulting. She lives, and I don't always say where they live, but I'm saying it for a purpose tonight. She lives in Bluffton, South Carolina. Robin Bertram, welcome to Amplify.
Oh, Father Ron, it is a pleasure to be with you tonight.
Well, you certainly are a person of hope. What you write about, you exude. But tell me first, did you get much rain at all where you live in South Carolina?
No. As a matter of fact, we had very little from the storm at all. We were called to evacuate, and then that order was reversed because the storm was tracking more northward. So yes, we escaped all the damage from the storm.
Good. Would that all that could have happened with everyone? But
yes.
Tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book and what do you accomplish through it?
Sure, Father Ron. Years ago, 20-plus years ago, the Lord had really prompted me in my heart to be a prayer minister. And people would call and ask me to come to their homes for prayer. And eventually that turned into a ministry, a prayer ministry. And I found that I was working with families that were in need. And I worked with three particular families that each one of the families had a family member that was facing terminal illness. And I often pondered what the Lord was doing through these experiences. And then fast forward about 15 years, the Lord put it on my heart to write what I had learned through those three families. And I sat down and I started to think about all the experiences and the things that I had learned. And I wanted to share those lessons learned. And then fast forward further into my own personal life, I faced a real health challenge, and that prompted me to finish the book I had started years earlier. So Hidden Treasures was birthed out of experience with families who were suffering, because all of these families would have common questions. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. How are we going to survive? Where is God in all of this? And so as I started to think about those questions, I went through those same challenges myself personally. And when I did, I sat down and completed Hidden Treasures because I saw a need, a real desperate need for resources for families that were struggling, whether it was long-term or terminal illness, or working with an elderly parent that was coming to the end of their life, or even families that suffer through loss, like a loss of a child or divorce. So I started to put these thoughts on paper, and Hidden Treasures was birthed out of those experiences.
Well, you've certainly seen God at work in your life and others when faced with death. Tell us about the significance of the title Hidden Treasures, because it applies in some way to every one of us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I love this scripture in Isaiah 45:3. It says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And that scripture really started to stir in my heart because, you know, God is a very intimate God. When we are in dark places, what I have found in my own personal life and life working with others, it's in those dark places that we can see God clearly working in our lives. And so I started to think about all the hidden treasures. First of all, the hidden treasures that he puts in each one of us, because we do, each of us, we have gifts, we have talents, we have plans that God has put in our hearts to do. But sometimes work and the busyness of life, children and all of the responsibilities that we have, we're pulled away from really finding those treasures that God plants in our heart. And so in Hidden Treasures, I start out in the book really having the reader start to look inward to find those treasures and learn how to unlock those hidden treasures. If we don't know our own treasures, we certainly can't help others find their treasures. And so when we're in a place of darkness or confusion in our life, it's a time when we have to do that introspection. So that was a very important part of this book, was having the reader look inward to find all those hidden treasures that God has stored in our hearts. Matthew 6:19 says, do not store up treasures on earth which will rot and fade away. Instead, store up eternal treasures in heaven. And Father Ron, the only way we can store up eternal treasures in heaven is to be certain what God has placed in us.
Tell us
we
a
have
little,
to know yeah. who we are in Christ so that we can accomplish the very will of God for our lives on this earth.
Yeah, you're right. As I look back at that tremendous experience, and we're going to talk about the story of Ava in a second, several things come to mind. God does not leave us on our own, but instead is there to walk with us through our personal darkness. He is always working behind the scenes. His power and his love are tangible, and his plans will go forth. That night, I learned a lot about life and death. I learned about faith and fear. I learned that a walk with God is a walk in the light, even when we are in the midst of utter darkness. And you're referring to the story you tell about Ava. Tell us a little bit about that story.
This precious child was one of the reasons this book came into existence. She was facing a terminal illness, and she would call. She was 11. And she would call in the middle of the night, and she would say, "Miss Robin, will you come pray for me?" And it was just so unusual that I saw so much faith in this young child. I watched her go through these internal struggles as she would deal with this illness. And I remember at night, the prayer ministers, as we surrounded her bed each night, she would go around the room and she would call us by name. And she'd say, "Miss Robin, I love you. And Miss Melanie, I love you. And Pastor John, I love you. And Mom, I love you. And Daddy, I love you." And she would end by saying, "And Jesus, I love you." And it, you think about a child who doesn't know what future they could possibly have and how short that future might be. And you watch that child move in such love and faith. And it was a life-changing experience for me, because I got to witness God up close and personal working in this child's life. And I remember when Ava passed away, we were on the bed surrounding her. And even at the very end, we were praying by faith, believing that this child was going to pull through. But when she took her last breath, I remember the glory of God fell, and it was just in that moment you could feel the presence of God like I've never experienced in my life. And his love covered that entire room like a blanket. And no one said a word. It was just silence. And we knew that God had come for one of his own. I'll never forget that night. And it was the love that Ava had in her heart for Jesus that impacted an entire community.
Let me read us out to our first break. You write about seven keys to unlocking hidden treasures. We're, you know, how do we find what is hidden within? How do we find those treasures hidden within us? And you have seven of them. The first is to find the treasures within takes work, dedication, and loyalty to the cause at hand, regardless of your circumstances. And you ask the question, what is stored deeply in your soul? Second, value God and what he values. Do you see yourself as God sees you? Do you know your true identity in Christ? Number three is, every eternal treasure found will require sacrifice. And you ask, are you holding on to something that you must let go? Are you holding on to your future as if it were in your control? The fourth key is, God is our sure foundation, and obedience and the fear of the Lord are essential. And you ask, when going through hardships, you need God's grace and mercy to get you through. You need the comfort of his Spirit. You need the strength of his love. You need the gift of his forgiveness. And key five, you will have to give up what is rightly yours to obtain what the Lord has in store for your future. Number six, you walk faithfully with the Lord to find your treasures within. And then number seven, our greatest treasures are often found in our greatest place of pain. And you write, each of us has a treasure trove stored inside. Each of us has a golden box full of real treasures. Each of us is reflective of God's light, even in our deepest pain. It's time to unearth those hidden treasures. So we're going to take this break and come back. We're going to we will unearth some of those hidden treasures that you can find within you and come to the discovery of how much God truly loves you as we look about the book, Hidden Treasures. Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest this evening is Robin Bertram. We're talking about her book titled Hidden Treasures. It's all about hope. And throughout her book, she has quotes from the scriptures, and they are nuggets of wisdom. But she also has just some brief comments, reflections, as she calls, share-worthy. And to this point, two of hers are God's imminent power shows up at the very moment of our impending misfortune. Need to reflect on that. Another is God will turn blight into blessing, trauma into treasures, and bring healing out of hurt. Watch for his hand. He is always at work. Robin, you point out that we all have God moments. Tell us about the one you recount in your book that you had with your father before he returned to the Lord.
My father was such an influence in my life. And he was a pastor for 50 years. He sang in a gospel group. He had such wisdom. And before he went on to be with the Lord, he prayed a prayer, a blessing over my family that so impacted our lives. But before he went on to be with the Lord, he walked such a life of faith. And that was what was so impactful to me. I watched him struggle with his own health challenges. He had a weakened heart, and the doctors had given him no chance of survival, and after his first major heart attack, and he lived 34 years after that. So he was a man of great faith, but he said on his deathbed, he said, "Robin, I have no regrets." And I think as I looked at his life, I started to understand. It took me several years to understand what he meant by that statement, because we all make mistakes, and we all have things that we wished we had done differently or had not done. But when I looked at his life, Father Ron, it was a life well lived for God. And that's how he could say he had no regrets. And so I really wanted to share his walk of faith with the readers too, because I learned from my father watching him when he stood against all odds, and he trusted God for everything. And what a lesson we could all learn if we could learn to do that very yes. thing. Corrie ten Boom says, "Let God's promises shine on your problems." And sometimes I think when we're going through our own issues, when we're struggling, when we've had health challenges, it's very easy to let that overwhelm us. But what we have to constantly do is turn back to the Word, grab onto those promises, declare them by faith, and hold on knowing that God is sovereign and He is moving on our behalf for our good and His glory.
And some of those God moments were when he would tell you he wanted his accordion. And every
yeah.
Friday night you would prepare for Sunday service. But you go ahead and tell the story.
Yes. You know, my father was just, he was saying a gospel group. So in the book Hidden Treasures, I start every chapter out with a song because we were so impacted by growing up singing those old gospel hymns. But he had an accordion, and that accordion was his treasured possession. And when he went on to be with the Lord, before he did, he gave that accordion he passed it on to me, and it was such a beautiful expression of his life and a treasure that he had, and it just meant the world to my family to know that he had passed that on. It wasn't just the accordion, but it was the years of memories that we used to sing around the piano on Friday nights as we were preparing for Sunday morning services as a family, and we would practice those old hymns. And I remember Father Ron thinking as a young girl, just almost like, oh no, here we go again, it's another Friday night. But yes. Then as a woman, as an adult, looking back at those treasured moments that my father was passing a legacy on, and that was one of those hidden treasures that I found. I found that as an adult, but it was a gift that my father had given.
Tell us a little bit about your own story, your own illness, that when you believe God was teaching you things about himself that you didn't clearly understand.
Oh, yes. Well, one thing for sure, I had been, I had a health challenge, and I had to go to Mayo Clinic, and they had given me four potential diagnoses. They took three off the table, and they left me with one that was a fatal, a life expectancy of 2 years with no medication, no treatment, and no hope. So Father Ron, I lived a year waiting to die. They literally sent me home and said, we just have to wait. And during that time, you know, I went through these internal struggles. And I remember thinking, you know, God is so big. I remember thinking how big God was and how very small I felt. And so I called out to him in the middle of the night. My family had been to Tuscany, and we, during the day, we would tour throughout the beautiful land in Italy, in Tuscany. But at night, this was a week after I'd gotten the first hint of the diagnosis, and at night, I would put my face in the carpet and just cry out to God. And I went through a time, a season, there was about a month or two of just sheer total darkness. And I remember just crying out, God, where are you? Where are you? And then it was like a light bulb came on in my head. And I remember just with clarity, this question came to mind. And it was as if God was saying, Robin, are you going to believe what you've taught for the last 30 years? And I just everything in me changed at that point. Everything. I had to throw off that darkness and that depression and that struggling. And I just had to say, yes, God. Because this is what I learned. Everyone will be shaken. We're going to be shaken. God will put us through a time of testing. And he puts us through testing not for him to know, but for us to know what's in our own heart. And so for me, it was a trial and it was a test. Did I really believe what I was teaching? And what I taught for years is God is sovereign and God knows what is best. And so I had to call on my own, are you going to trust him, Robin, in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of this darkness, are you going to trust God? And I had to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's amazing because you assume you're always going to say yes.
Right.
Sometimes you don't really know until you go through that kind of darkness. And when I did say yes, God, it was though the peace of God just flooded over me, and the darkness became light, and I could say in my heart, no matter what, God. I worked with a man one time, and he was terminally ill, and he was several weeks from passing on to be with the Lord, and he said, Robin, go in the kitchen, and on the wall, he said, there's a picture with scriptures. He said, will you bring that in to me? And so I did. I brought it into his bed, and he said, will you read that to me? And I read through probably about 15 healing scriptures on that plaque. And he said this to me. He said, Robin, if I'm healed here, I'm healed. If I'm healed there, I'm healed. Either way, I'm healed.
Yes.
And I thought, what a beautiful and powerful statement, because it was faith in knowing. We don't always know whether we're going to receive our healing on this side of heaven, and we don't know what we might have to struggle through, but what we do know, when we know God is intimate and when we know God loves us, we can trust that he is doing the very best for us, even if it's something we don't want to experience.
Right, you're right that the Spirit dwells in us and longs to lead, guide, teach, and help us, that we all face challenges in our faith. And you write, and again, I'm reading from the book Hidden Treasures, I challenge you to look at what God is doing in the midst of your own personal darkness. Ask yourself, what has been a blessing to me today? What little joy have I experienced? What good has happened around me? Then thank God for that good. Thank him that he is with you. Thank him that his Spirit dwells within you. When facing many of my own personal struggles, my comfort is found in knowing the voice of God, which takes a little practice. Tell us a little bit about what we can learn from the story of Lazarus and the concept of resurrection power.
Well, I love that story because, you know, we think about, can God bring dead things to life? And all we have to do is look at this picture that we clearly see in the life of Lazarus. Mary and Martha, one stays behind, and one runs ahead to meet Jesus when their brother had passed on. And the question comes, do we really believe that God can make a difference? I love the story because Martha runs out to God, to Jesus, meets Jesus, and said, if you had been there. And so many times when we're struggling, God, only if, you know, if you had been there. What we often forget is he is there. He is with us. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from that grave is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And Jesus called Lazarus out so that you and I could understand he has the power of life and death. And in that resurrection, we get to experience eternal life. And that's a powerful lesson. Everyone will face their own mortality. Everyone will leave this world. And the question is, when we leave, are we certain of our eternity? And Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we have life eternal. And that's the beautiful lesson of Lazarus. We have that eternal life guaranteed if we believe Jesus died. He was buried. He raised on the third day, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. The Word of God says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouths, we will be saved. And what that means to you and I is we will live on. That was a real hard concept for me. I remember struggling with the concept of death. We live on. That's being born again. And I love that because it's the eternal security that we have been offered through Jesus Christ.
The classical question is often asked, why do bad things happen to good people? And in your answer, you write, has been found in the third chapter of Genesis.
Yes. Why do bad things happen to good people? And this is the short answer is we live in a fallen world. The Word of God says it rains on the just and the unjust. And what that means, because of sin being introduced into this world, death and sickness came along. And so, unfortunately, because of sin, we all have to face these issues. We all have to face death or sickness. And that's part of the fallen world that we live in. But, you know, Jesus came and he changed that for us in that he offered us that life eternal. So sometimes when we're going through this, I remember when I went through it myself, you ask these questions, why God? Why? But that brings us back to the question, do we really trust in his sovereignty? Do we trust in his decisions? And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing when you have to give up. And I talk in the book about what we have to give up, because Jesus had to give up his worldly rule to gain his eternal rule. And I think about Esther. She had to give up her natural birthright to find her spiritual birthright. And Abraham had to give up his only son to gain sons of nations. And so sometimes we have to give up things. And when I was going through all these struggles myself, I had to give up the thought of having a future. And I remember my daughter was getting married, and I didn't know if I would be able to walk down the aisle. And I was thinking about my first grandchild, and I cried out to God, God, will I get to hold my first grandchild? And those questions were real, and they were very significant to me in my life. And sometimes we're not promised that. And so you have to settle in your heart, even if you are not entitled to those things. God knows what is best in our life. Fathers know best. I remember a time when I was taking a trip. My sister and I had gone to a city about an hour away from our home when our father told us not to go. We were young. We were 17. We had a car, and we got stuck. The car broke down, and I thought, you know, fathers do know best. We called home, and I asked my mom to come get us, and she said, no, you got yourself over there. Now you have to get yourself home.
Yes.
And that was a hard lesson to learn. But sometimes we have to understand that Father knows best, and certainly God the Father does know best. He knows what's best for our life, even when we don't know.
Let me read us out to our next break. You write about four steps to help us on our journey of love. Step one, love yourself. Understand that God's love is unconditional, pure, and without limit. Accept his love. Step two, forgive yourself for poor decisions. Forgive yourself for wrong actions. Forgive yourself for your wrong relationships. Now your slate is wiped clean. You can no longer go back and hold yourself captive to all of the past mistakes that you've made. Step three is Do not look at your life and judge it as a failure. This is a trick of the devil, meant to deceive you. Your steps have been determined. Remember that the past is gone. It's never too late to be forgiven of the sins of your past. Simply confess them to God. You are then forgiven and accepted into the family. And then the fourth step is realize there is a reason for your life and for your pain. God has a plan for it all. There is nothing wasted. So we're going to take this break, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to the second hour of Amplify, where our guest is Robin Bertram. We're talking about her book, Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. And her soul is filled with hope, and she's sharing it with us. I apologize for my double indemnity at the end of the first hour. I said, oh, I dumped her, which means I disconnected the phone line when the producer needed to talk to her. So if people didn't know what that meant, I disconnected the phone line. Robin, if someone were to ask you, how can I know for sure that God loves me, how would you try to answer that question?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And the way that I would answer it, Father Ron, is he gave his only son so that you and I could have life. And I think about that because I'm a mother and I have a son. And my son means everything to me. I love my son. And I think about the love that God had to have to put his son on that cross. That is such tremendous love that he has for you and I, that he cares enough that we live with him into eternity, that he would sacrifice his own son on a cross. And when we understand what his sacrifice was, then we can understand the love he has for us. Oftentimes I've worked with people before that there's a block or a barrier that prevents them from feeling his love. And oftentimes it's something as simple as unforgiving spirit. You know, we've been offended by someone or hurt by someone, and we just refuse to forgive. And that unforgiveness will block us from receiving the love that God freely extends to us. And so I think that's an important thing for the reader to grasp, that anything that stands in the way of receiving God's love, we need to learn to lay down. If it's bitterness or our pride or jealousy or any of those things that we struggle with, we need to identify those things and ask God to forgive us, because sin separates us out of the fellowship with God, and we can't experience his love. But when you do understand the love God has for you, it changes everything about you. It changes the way you live, the way you perceive life, and the joy that you have. The joy is overwhelming when you understand that you have a God who loves you. There's a scripture in Exodus 3:7, and this was God, he wrote in his word as he was looking at his people when they were in the oppression of Egypt, and he said this, the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their suffering. And I love that scripture, because in that scripture we learn that God hears, he sees, he understands, and he cares. And so I wrote to one of my shareworthy, in the midst of our deepest pain, God is watching to see if we will reach out for his abundant promises. And I think that's so important as we think about these struggles that we have. God sees them. He hears our cries. And I know personally, when you're going through those kind of struggles, you wonder, is God even hearing me? Does he care? And the answer is yes. We have it. It's written. And when it's written, we can stand firmly on what is written because it's truth.
You write, love, 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 as long as you have breath, love. We all show love, you write, in different ways. But it's not how we show love, it's that we do show love. Love can keep you going when nothing else can. And you point out some of the ways in which we can show love through treasured memories, by making memories, by savoring memories. And in the way we deal with people, you make recommendations about how we can be a present to someone who is struggling by simply being present, and avoid giving false hope, avoid being fake. It's critical to those who are struggling, sick or dying, the right to speak, especially those who are terminally ill. Honesty is also important. Sharing your fears, disappointments, and concerns with one another is a healthy way to get through the process. The sharing of honest feelings allows for healing in so many other ways. Say just a little bit more about how being present to a person is a present to them.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I just believe that love is a reflection of God in us. And so God is love, and we need to reflect that love. And one way is being present. I remember, Father Ron, working with a dear man who was terminal, and he had two sons that just would not visit him. They stayed away, and I remember him, you know, a month or two before he went on to be with the Lord, he said, "I don't think my sons even love me. They don't even care." And I remember saying to him, "No, I'm certain they love you." And so when we sat down and we talked to those young men, what we found was they were fearful of seeing their father in a weakened state, and so they stayed away. And when they understood how their father felt, that he did not feel their love, they were able to put aside their own personal fears and go to him and be present with him. And I remember just the joy on his face when he saw his sons come to visit. And so being present, when you're in a weakened state, one of the things, sometimes we're afraid to even touch, but touch is so vital. You can sit there and hold your loved one's hand. You can rub their shoulder. You can just touch them to let them know that you are there with them. And I think that's one of the most powerful ways that you can show them love, is just simply by being present. I talk in the book about communication, because another way that you can show love to your loved one is to let them have a voice. Listen to what they're saying. Ask them how they feel, what they want to do. Oftentimes I've seen this where families, someone will feel the necessity to speak for their sick family member. But as long as that family member has clarity of thought and can speak, they should be allowed to voice their opinion. That is so vitally important, to give them that sense of freedom to speak up what's on their own mind. I think there's ways that we can show love. In the back of the book, I've got what I call a love in action in the appendix, and it's literally a checklist, a two-page checklist where someone can tear it out, and they can be assigned the responsibility of helping a family during a crisis. And they can go through this list just like a checklist, and and line up people that could help. What I found, Father Ron, was when families are struggling, they don't want to be a burden. They don't want to ask for help. So love in action can be one person assigned to a family in need, whatever their need might be, whether it's divorce or sickness or whatever, and they can help that family through that crisis by just going through this checklist and lining up volunteers to help do simple tasks. It's just rich with great tips and tools to help families in need.
When you write about faith, you say that faith is believing that something good will happen and that belief becomes the substance of things hoped for. Your faith will define you. It will define your innermost thoughts, and it will determine who you really are or not. And you indicate that we should be living by faith because our faith is itself a tool for battle. Tell us then how God can refine us through our trials and tribulations.
Well, our faith will define our life, our faith will define our death, and our faith will define everything in between. It's what do you believe? And I know from personal experience, I know yes. that when we are tested, when we are tried, God is using that as a time for us to build our own character. It's a time of refining who we are and what we truly believe. And those times of testing are difficult, but when we go through those times of testing, we are truly strengthened for the battle. Let's see, in Romans 8:37 and 39, it says this, "Yet in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, or any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we go through a time of refining, we need to know that scripture. We need to know that these tests and these trials are not meant to separate us from God. They're meant to refine us like precious jewels. I know for me, when I went through my struggles, even my reactions to my husband changed. There were times before my health challenge when maybe I didn't say thank you to my husband when he did a kind act. Maybe I didn't appreciate or value those small acts of kindness. After my trial, after my testing, everything changed. You appreciate life more. You treasure God-given gifts. You treasure people that he puts around you. And it really is a time of refining where we learn to better appreciate what God has given us, to be thankful. And I think that's one of the testing is so that we do have a thankful heart and better reflect God.
You write about fear and the problems that it can cause, that fear causes us to want to be totally in control, but God wants us to be okay with not being in control. And you write, "When I was first told that I could have a potentially fatal disease with no possibility of recovery, I became so confused that I could hardly function. Small tasks were almost too much to handle. If you are like me, your thoughts will be jumbled and your words incoherent. Your brain can't rest. You will be tempted to entertain every thought that comes into your mind. But that is a trick of the enemy. You will have to take yourself out of panic mode." And you recommend then that we fight fear with love, we fight fear with facts, with scripture, with prayer. And what proof do we have that God is indeed in control?
Well, I tell you, when you're facing potential death, you will quickly know who's in control.
Yes.
You know, we live, it's so amazing how we live so much of our life feeling like we're in control. But if you've ever gone through something as simple as a job loss, where you've lost your job, or a health crisis, or a child that has gone, won't listen, have gone out of control, you quickly learn how you don't have control. And so I remember when my life was spiraling out of control, feeling like that, you know, that I had no control over anything, you really do have to turn to God and trust. He created us. He's the creator of the universe. We look at God so differently after we have these crises, because we understand the bigness of God and how small our circumstances really are in the big picture. So in the book, I write about fear, fighting fear with faith, because when I went through my sickness, I gathered every healing scripture I could gather, and I quoted it, and I held on to it, and I believed in it, and I trusted God in His Word. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to take the truth of God's Word, and we hold on to it like it's an anchor. We have to fight fear with fact, because I remember, too, thinking, you know, I'm going to be paralyzed. I'm not going to be able to speak. Satan puts those thoughts in our head to where we think the very worst scenario, and that's not walking in faith. That's walking in fear, and we have to learn to fight that fear. It's not our friend. It's an enemy. And so I spend a lot of time talking to the reader about fighting fear, and we fight it with love. Perfect love casts out fear. And there's no fear in love, the scripture says, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Mm. And that's a powerful scripture in 1 John 4:18. And I remember when that revelation came to me, and I could grasp what the Word of God was saying, because we can't walk in fear and faith at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. You're going to either be in fear or you're going to be in faith. And when we walk in faith, we say to God, I trust you even when I don't understand. I trust you when everything looks wrong to me. And when we learn to do that, peace comes to our heart. That's when peace comes, when we learn to turn our fears over into the hands of a loving God.
Let me break in right there, because we need to take this final break, and then we come back. We'll continue in our discussion with Robin Bertram, Hidden Treasures. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify, where our guest is Robin Bertram. We're talking about her book, Hidden Treasures, and in the chapter titled Hidden Treasures, Robin, you point out that forgiveness is one of our greatest treasures, that you can forgive through choice or through actions, that forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And you write, forgiveness is a necessary step in all healing, spiritual, emotional, and physical. See Matthew 6:14. It's not an option, it's a command. It's a weapon of warfare, as it strips away the rights of the devil in tormenting, harassing, and oppressing those who have held on to resentment and bitterness. Hearts that choose to forgive open themselves up to receiving God's merciful hand of restoration. Unforgiveness binds individuals to hurts and pains of the past and locks them into deep-seated anguish. It blocks the flow and prevents receiving the love of God. How can we make peace with our past?
Oh, making peace with our past. You know, that is a work. You know, I talked about in the beginning how we have to work hard to find those treasures. What we have to do is we have to trust. The God in His Word says that He directs our steps. So we have to understand that even our past is in God's hands. And that's where we need to place it, solidly in His hand, forgiving ourselves of what we've done wrong, and trusting that God will work all things together for good. And the Word of God promises that in Romans 8:28. He promises that He'll work all things together for good. That means even the bad things that have happened in our life, even the things that we should not have done, God will take those things and turn them into good. We learn lessons. Those lessons become stepping stones into a better future. And that better future comes when we use the lessons that we learned from our own mistakes. What is bad is when we don't learn from our mistakes and we make those mistakes over and over and over again. And that's really a challenge, that we have to learn to forgive ourselves and learn from those mistakes and then forgive ourselves. Forgiving ourselves is probably the biggest challenge, because we tend to hold ourselves at a higher responsibility, and God wants us to let go. And I think when we let go, we're saying, God, your judge, and I trust in your judgment. And when we ask God to forgive us of those wrongs, He wipes it away. He says, I forget as far as the east is from the west. So those sins are gone in the mind of God. And so we need to let go and trust in His sovereignty.
On page 139, you offer some tips to help minimize the potential for regret for the family of those facing long-term illness. And you have 9 recommendations. Just say something overall about how we can minimize that potential for regret.
Yes, we can minimize that by just acknowledging past mistakes and forgiving ourselves. We don't want to deny our emotions, but we accept them and then release them. And that's an important part of all this, is not to deny your emotions, but to accept and then release. And then refuse to punish yourself for mistakes that you've made. We need to learn from our past mistakes and make things right with other people. Apologize when we need to apologize. We need to tell the truth in the situation. And then we need to avoid blaming others. That's so important, to accept what happened and avoid blaming others. And then we can grieve our regrets with an end in sight and declare that there's no more grief over that issue. So it's really a process of working through and then just accepting the forgiveness that you've already been given.
What does it mean, then, to surrender your life to the Lord? It's something you indicate that we must give our life to God every day.
Well, you know, total surrender comes when we can trust in God. We can trust in His sovereignty. It's hard to surrender when you don't trust. And it really becomes an issue of trust. Do you trust God? And that's a question we all have to ask at some point in our life. We have to completely empty ourselves out. The Word of God says in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. And when we understand that kind of surrender, then we empty ourselves of all of our wants, and we trust God for our future. Mm-hmm. We trust God in everything. And that's something that we have to choose. Again, it's like forgiveness. You choose surrender. It doesn't just happen. It's a decision made. And it's a battle term. It's a battle term. It implies giving up to the one who conquers. And we know that God is a warrior and he fights our battles. And it's giving up to the one who conquers. We know that God has already won this battle. So we empty ourselves. And when we do, then we can trust in God. And that's a beautiful time, because that's when the peace and the joy do come.
Right. To amplify on that, you write that God does things on his time schedule. Wait on the Lord. You may not understand the why, but be content with not understanding.
Yes, yes. And that's I remember when I went through my struggles, I asked, why, God, why? And sometimes we want concrete answers. But part of this book is about looking back and seeing God at work in the midst of the trials and the tribulations that we've already been through, because that gives us faith to look forward even in the midst of the trials that we're currently going through. And I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to embrace and trust in, that when we look back, and God says in his word, remember when, so many times, because he wants to teach and train us through his word to look back when God was working in your life, when you can clearly see his handprint, when you know he had led you in the past. When you look back and you remember, it gives you courage to stand in the midst of the battle and trust that he's working on your behalf right now, no matter where you are in your life, knowing that you can surrender your plans to his will. And that's something he wants us all to do daily. Giving up our will for his will, that is another choice that we make that brings great honor to God when we deny ourselves, when we humble ourselves, when we humble ourselves and say, God, that your will supersedes my will. And when we do that, we're bringing God the greatest honor.
There are many beautiful and powerful love stories out there, but you want us to understand that God's love is the ultimate love story, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is the ultimate love story. And what a beautiful thing to know that God says in his word that we are his treasured possession. We're the apple of his eye. He sees his children. We're his children. And again, I just compare this to being a mother, because it just brings me great joy when I see my children at doing what they're supposed to be doing. When I know that they're walking in the way they're supposed to be walking, what joy it brings me. And I think what joy it must bring God the Father when he sees you and I, when he sees his children walking in his will. There's no greater satisfaction in life. And we sense that in our heart. We know when we're in his will, when we're doing what is right, when we're doing what we're called to do. And it's when you can feel the presence of God so beautifully in your own life. I know in my own personal life, I remember this book. God gave it to me years ago in an altar in Burlington, North Carolina. I had been in prayer. And after that time of prayer, Father Ron, I stood up from an altar, and I so clearly knew in my heart that God was asking me to write this book. Wow. And I think about that time because it was just a clear assignment that he had given, and the joy that it brings my heart to know that I accomplished what he'd asked me to do.
Wisdom, you point out, is found in God's word, is a treasure. God sees, God hears, God knows, God cares. And you had a story to tell about your son who was missing for 6 months.
Yes. It was such a scary time. It was a time when my precious son was not walking in the will of God, and he ended up missing. We had to contact a private eye to help us find our son. But I remember one morning, my husband and I had been on a fast, and I remember one morning I cried out from the bottom of my soul, God, I don't want my baby boy to die. And my husband ran into the bedroom where I was, and he was trying to calm me down. Robin, just calm down. I said, you don't understand. You don't understand. He's in trouble. He's in real trouble. That morning, I went into my church, and in the midst of the service, the pastor stopped, and he said, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I just feel impressed of the Lord to say, you cried out to the Lord, and you said you don't want your baby son, you don't want your baby boy to die. And it was almost verbatim, the cry that morning. I looked at my husband in shock, and he looked at me, and my heart was sinking. And he said, you have to put your son in the river of death. And, of course, just like Moses and was put into the river of death. And I knew what God was saying through that entire sermon. God was saying, trust me with your son. I looked at my husband and I said, that's not what I wanted to hear. But I thank God for speaking to me this morning. And I knew that I knew that I knew God had that in control. And eventually he did. He led us to go, and we found our son, and we brought him home. And it was like the prodigal son coming home. He was saved. He was saved out of that place of darkness. It was the most incredible experience of my life. But it was one of those times when I knew God was saying, are you going to trust me in the midst of this pain?
Yes. And we have just about another 6 minutes left, and you offer some significant suggestions to remember in a time of tragedy that will make such a journey less difficult. I'll just pick out a sentence from all that you have written. Understand that God is ultimately in control. Choose to maintain a positive outlook by accepting the fact that God truly is in control and has your best interest in mind. Relationships are often strained, but remember, it can be a time where they are also strengthened through the process. Despite the bleakness of any situation, hold on tightly to the hope that there is a purpose in your pain. Life is a journey. Know that God will guide you out of or through anything. Do something encouraging every day. Build yourself up as you grow through the development of your faith. Surround yourself with uplifting people with positive influences. Look for the little miracles every day, treasures given by God. Understand the power of prayer. Prayer is the key to the journey, and it certainly will play a crucial part in your emotional and spiritual healing. Trusting God is essential. Keep a journal of your thoughts and feelings. This can help you deal with the day-to-day issues by acknowledging your deepest feelings. And last, determine to use your experience to be a blessing to someone else. Faith is built often by watching another go through tremendous situations with peace in their heart. Share your life and story with others. And that's what you've done with us tonight, really. So that we can may not watch you, but learn from listening to what it is that you have had to face in your life and how much hope is meant to you and how much it can be to us. And you continue to write that there's a point in life when we must make important decisions. There are some things in life that we can't change. And you also acknowledge that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So, and then you write about what heaven will be like. Wish we had more time to talk about all of those things. You've been such a wonderful guest. I thank you for writing this book. I'm sure that if people get a copy of Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey, they'll be able to go to the scriptures to see what God's word has to say to them and what you and others, the wisdom that you have learned through having gone through the process. So thank you so very much for being with us, and I pray that God will continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you. It's been such an honor.
And maybe we can get together sometime again in the future.
I would love that.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you. All right. Have a good night.
Good night. So we've come towards the end then of the program, and let me go to a section of the book where she writes about divine influence in our life. Our greatest fears, she writes, come from the fear of suffering, the fear of loss, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of incompletion, the fear of being non-existent. And of course, you and I know there are many other fears in life. She writes, suffering is a real concern. I understand that fear completely. I always say, I don't want to suffer, but who does? No one wants to suffer. What I can tell you is that the dear ones I have walked with to their deathbeds made it through the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a divine influence of the Lord right there by their side as they stood at heaven's gates. It was God in the power of the Holy Spirit giving them comfort. It was God strengthening them, comforting them, loving them. Yes, they suffered, but it was all supernatural, and their peace was great. It was as though God was holding them in his arms. Can you imagine that? We can imagine it, should imagine that during the course of our life and not just then. But she continues, what you need to remember, regardless of your beliefs, is that you will exist, heaven or hell. You do not just disappear, fade away, or end. You will exist. You will continue on. Is that not the truth? We are eternal. When God created us, we were created to exist forever. And there's such a great mystery there that we don't fully understand. Sometimes there's a fear of leaving things unfinished. That was part of what the gospel was about today in my tradition. And I talked about how we all worry about that at times, struggling within our own heart and knowing there's something else that God wants us to do. And we have to keep our mind open in prayer and listen for the voice of God. And when we do that, we will begin to understand that God is with us at every moment of life. And much more important than that, to understand that God loves us as much as he does today, as he will love us in heaven. And so if you want to know what is heaven's like, that's what it's like. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone, and come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads. Thank you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.